بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال تعالى: إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أفضل الجهاد من قال كلمة حق عند سلطان جائر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. I want to begin today's khutbah with a story of one of the greatest companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This particular companion used to follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the teeth. He used to emulate every single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the point where they called him crazy. Who am I talking about? None other than Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. Hisham ibn Yahya states, a beggar once came to Abdullah ibn Umar and said, "A'tini dinar," give me a dinar. The currency during the time of Abdullah ibn Umar was dirham and dinar. And it was common that you would give a beggar a few dirhams, because a dinar was worth several grams of gold. You don't give that away, especially to a beggar. But this beggar had the audacity to ask from the beginning, "Give me a dinar. Don't give me that cheap little silver coin. You can keep that. Give me a dinar. I want a dinar." So Abdullah ibn Umar gave him the dinar. Salim, his son, who was watching this whole incident, he said, "Taqabbal Allahu minka ya abata." May Allah accept, O my beloved father. But really, it was not expected for you to give that amount to this beggar. Abdullah ibn Umar said something so profound that it will become the basis of my khutbah. He said, "لو علمت أن الله تقبل مني سجدة واحدة أو صدق درهم واحد واحدة لتمنيت الموت." If I knew, out of all the good deeds that I have done, that Allah has accepted just one sajda. If I knew out of all the good deeds that I have done, Allah has accepted one dinar, I would wish for death. Because I know Allah is Rahman, He is Rahim. If He accepts one deed, high probability that I'm going to Jannah. And then he recited the ayah, "إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ." My message today is this: have a diverse portfolio of hasanat, because you don't know which good deed Allah will accept. February is Black History Month. Today I would like to discuss the legacy of our late brother Muhammad Ali. As Abdullah ibn Umar suggests, we must have a diverse portfolio of good deeds, because we don't know which good deed Allah will accept. It's best to have a diverse portfolio of hasanat. Which good deed of Muhammad Ali should I start off with? Should I start off with kalimatu haqq 'inda sultanin ja'ir, speaking the truth in front of a tyrant ruler? The Vietnam War and active US involvement began in 1954. In 1966, Muhammad Ali was eligible for the draft and induction into the United States Army. The officer said, "Mr. Cassius Clay, please step forward and be inducted into the United States Army." Muhammad Ali refused. "Mr. Cassius Clay, please step forward and be inducted into the United States Army." He did not budge. Mr. Cassius Clay, do you understand the gravity of your act? Yes. Then please step forward and become and be inducted into the United States Army. He did not budge. Eventually, Muhammad Ali was fined, sentenced to 5 years in prison, stripped of his boxing license, and as he was leaving, he said, "My conscience won't let me shoot my brother or some darker people. Shoot them for what? They never called me the N-word. You called me the N-word. They never lynched me. You lynched me. They never raped or killed my woman. You killed my woman. I have no beef with the Viet Cong. If I die, I'm going to die right here fighting for my rights against you. You're my enemy. They never put no dogs on me. They never robbed me of my nationality. Shoot them for what? How can I shoot them poor people? Just take me to jail. Just take me to jail." Later that day, he was stripped of his boxing license and his championship belt. He lost the prime years of his boxing career because he would not compromise his beliefs. And he said at the first year of his exile from boxing, "I'm just about broke. I can't work in America. I can't work outside of America because they stripped my passport." He lost everything in opposing the Vietnam War. And with his passport taken away, that included his ability to make a living. Is that the good deed that Allah will accept? I make dua to Allah, may Allah accept his good deed. To pay the bills and help support his wife, he embarked on a college speaking tour, earning pennies on the dollar. But he said this was bigger than boxing. He spoke the truth in front of powerful, corrupt politicians. And it's a surprise that he was not shot, unlike other civil rights leaders. Is that the good deed that Allah will reward him and that Allah will accept? Or was it the fact that he used to smile at whoever he saw? A genuine smile. You don't have to be the greatest boxer of all time to smile at others. Or was it the fact that he gave charity? One of the most charitable men in the history of America. Even though people took advantage of him, he would still continue to give millions of dollars to the poor and needy, to fight Parkinson's, for cancer research. Was that his charity? Was that his good deed that Allah will accept? Was it the fact that he gave people time? He gave people time. There was once a man who was perched on an office building 9 floors above, about to jump and commit suicide. A crowd gathered, inciting the man to jump. Muhammad Ali finds out about it. He is driving at the time, makes a U-turn, starts driving on the wrong side of the street with his blinkers on, parks in front of the building, goes up to the 9th floor and says, "Brother, you don't know me, I don't know you, but I love you." He said, "Brother, I do know you. You're Muhammad Ali." So he saw the sincerity and he decided not to jump. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Was that his good deed that Allah will accept? When you see your brother or your sister on the brink, do you give them time? It could save a life. Which good deed will Allah accept? He had a diverse portfolio of good deeds. Or was it the time when he was a diplomat and he secured the release of 15 US hostages in Iraq? Or what about the time when Hollywood Chamber of Commerce sent to Muhammad Ali, "We want your name to be in the Hollywood Walk of Fame"? He said, "No. No. I don't care about the millions of people who will say my name, who will say his name, just for my fame. I bear the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is impossible for me to allow people to trample over his name for my fame. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. He did not let fame influence his morality. He did not let powerful people influence his morality, even if that meant his name would not be on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And because he stood by his principles, his name and his star is the only one on the Hollywood Walk of Fame that does not lie on the ground. Rather, it floats like a butterfly above the ground and on the wall. May Allah make us amongst those who truly work for Allah's cause and not just for applause. Because if you work for applause and you don't get it, you will fall into sadness. High chance you will fall into depression. Muhammad Ali taught us through his actions that we work truly for Allah's cause and not for some silly applause. Which good deed will Allah accept? Will Allah accept his humility? Yes, inside the ring, he was not a very humble man. He would call himself the greatest. He would trash talk against his opponents, sometimes going overboard. But outside the ring, when you met him one-on-one, not a single person that was interviewed said, yeah, Muhammad Ali, he's a jerk. He's a diva. He's all about himself. No one said that, even his opponents. Very down to earth. He never turned down an autograph request. And there's a beautiful story behind that as well. Jim Brown said, Ali was a man. Ali never wanted to rise above other people. The most common person in the world was always good enough for him. Sometimes when we were together, he'd say, come on, Jim, let's walk through the ghetto and talk to people. And we'd go in the ghetto, into barbershops, into stores, on the streets, and just talk to people. He was never above the people. His greatest attribute was, no matter how famous he was, he loved every person he saw. Was that the good deed that Allah will accept? His humility. In his book, The Soul of a Butterfly, he writes, in truth, I know I have said in the past that I am the greatest, but in truth, Allah is the greatest. Allah gave me this illness of Parkinson's disease where he is shaking uncontrollably. Allah gave me this illness to help me realize that I am not number one. He is. He is. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Whoever lowers himself in front of Allah, Allah will raise him. Was that the good deed that Allah will accept? Or was it the fact that whenever he did something, he did it with ihsan. He did it to the best possible manner. He said, if I'd been a garbage man, I would have been the best garbage man there ever was. I would have picked up trash neater and quicker than anyone else would have picked up trash. If you're going to do something, be the greatest. Give 100% effort to what you're doing. If you can't, lessen your responsibilities. Learn to delegate. If you think you're the only person who can do what you're doing, then you got an ego problem. Learn to delegate. Give 100% to what you're doing. Is that the good deed that Allah will accept? Or was it the fact that he was constantly giving da'wah? Was it the fact that he was not scared of giving da'wah? It's easy to talk about Allah and the hereafter here in the masjid now. He was in interviews, the whole room was non-Muslim. They were full of non-Muslims. And he was not talking about himself, his victories, his championship belt. He was deflecting the attention. He was talking about Allah. He was talking about his death. He was talking about life after death. In front of non-Muslims, and they're all giving him an applause. He was not scared, right? You don't want to, when you're speaking with non-Muslims, you don't want to let them think that this guy is trying to convert me. Yes, you want to find that line, but don't be scared about talking about Allah. Don't be scared about talking about being a Muslim, about death, about the hereafter. He taught us not to live double lives. Is that the person? Is that the good deed that Allah will accept? Yes, there are zuhad, there are ulama who have read way more Quran than Muhammad Ali. They have prayed more than Muhammad Ali. They have studied more than him. And that takes nothing away from their legacy. Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. At the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of people are those who benefit people the most. And he benefited, subhanAllah. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offer Salatul Mayyit al-Ghaib for King Najashi and not anyone else? Was it because of King Najashi's wealth? Was it because of King Najashi's knowledge? Was it because of King Najashi's ibadah? No, it was because he benefited Muslims the most. كَانَ لَهُ نَفَعَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. Likewise, Muhammad Ali's benefit spanned across the entire world, covering Muslims and non-Muslims. Muhammad means the one who is praised. And boy, did he live up to that name. He was praised by Africans. He was praised by the Caucasians. He was praised by Jews. He was praised by the Christians. He was praised by Dr. King. He was praised by Malcolm X. He was praised by the Dalai Lama. He was praised by TV reporters. He was even praised by Sheikh Kishk of Egypt. Millions of people, Muslims and non-Muslims, benefited from Muhammad Ali. My respected listeners, do you benefit others? Or do you just receive benefit? He taught us to be insightful. In 1971, this boxing legend gave an interview on how the English language in some ways can be considered a racist language. Words like black magic, black hearted, black cat, black sheep, they all seem like ordinary, normal words and you can use in an everyday conversation until you realize they all have racist undertones. Black is used as a descriptive word to denote something evil, whereas white is used as something good. A white lie, there's no negative connotation with that. Whereas the black color has come to signify evil, sadness, mourning. He said, Muhammad Ali said, how come the angel fruit cake is the white cake and the devil food cake is the chocolate cake? How come the president lived in the White House? And how come Mary had a little lamb with feet as white as snow? How come there was the famous Disney character Snow White? And how come everything bad was black? The ugly duckling was the black duck. And the black cat was bad luck. And if I'm gonna threaten you, I'm gonna blackmail you. He said, Mama, how come they don't call it white male? They lie too. He taught us to be insightful. And since he was Malcolm X's protege, he also taught us not to be ashamed of our skin color. Was that the good deed that Allah will accept? People didn't like it when he stood up to the entire United States government. He writes, heck, even the nation of Islam tried to persuade me to accept induction, but I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I did not believe that was God's plan for me. The greatest cost to me was that the nation of Islam turned its back on me. I was no longer a member, and its members were not allowed to associate with me. The nation of Islam did not make me a Muslim. My belief in Allah made me a Muslim. I found a spiritual home in mainstream Sunni Islam. And my relationship with Allah is what got me through this period. Is that the good deed that Allah will accept? Is tawakkul, the trust he has in Allah? Or was it the fact that he completely changed the political game in our history? He made it easier for athletes to stand up for what's right. Before there was Kaepernick, there was Muhammad Ali. Before there was Mahmoud Abdul Ra'uf, there was Muhammad Ali. He was a living example in front of us. Today, when athletes speak out against injustice, they are told, stay in your lane, boy. You're not a politician. Stay in your lane. When LeBron James was speaking out against the bigotry comments made by Trump, he was told by a Fox News host, just shut up and dribble. Just be quiet and dribble. Just be quiet and throw the football, Kaepernick. Just be quiet and shoot the threes, Mahmoud. Just be quiet and box, Muhammad. Muhammad Ali said, I don't have to be what you want me to be. I am free to be who I want to be. He taught us to resist conformity and to accept our uniqueness. I make dua to Allah, Ya Allah, accept the legacy of our late brother Muhammad Ali. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Have a diverse portfolio of hasanat. You don't know which good deed Allah will accept. That's my message for today. Have a diverse portfolio of good deeds. And after studying the life of Muhammad Ali, he clearly had a diverse portfolio of random good deeds that any of us can do. You don't have to be the greatest boxer to do many of the things that he did. He was an amazing poet, as we mentioned. He used to trash talk to his opponents, and certain occasions he would go overboard. But then he would use his poetry to bring people closer to Allah. He would say, "You all have one life. It soon will pass. What you do for Allah is all that will last." That's all that will last. And he would tell his daughter Maryam, "Maryam, everything that Allah has created has a purpose. The sun has a purpose. Maryam, the trees have a purpose. The animals have a purpose. The ants have a purpose. Maryam, you are a human being. What is your purpose?" Understanding this is more important than passing an exam. Understanding this is more important than getting married. Understanding our purpose is more important than having kids. It's more important than living in a nice house or a nice car. What do you gain by having all of this, but you don't know your purpose? And the society that has been created, it heightens the repetition of useless information. We are not taught to grow. It suppresses the innate instincts to grow. We are not taught to grow. We are not taught to be reflective when we write. You don't have time for that. Writing in a reflective journal, that's for first grade girls. You don't have time for that. But according to your iPhone, you spent over two hours with screen time. You do have time for it. You do have time to learn about yourself, to not make the same mistakes as you did 10 years ago, to grow. There are trillions of dollars that are spent to make you think the way you are not supposed to think. Trillions of dollars are spent so that you think the way they want you to think. Trillions of dollars are spent so that you talk about that which they want you to talk about. So that you do what they want you to do for their own profit. Muhammad Ali said, forget about what society is telling you to do. You have one life. It soon will be passed. What you do for Allah is all that will last. Find your purpose. Find your purpose. I told you this before, I'm a big fan of the Japanese, and especially of their etiquettes. And they have a nice way of finding your secondary purpose in life. It's called the ikigai. Your ikigai, a reason to jump out of bed every morning. You ask yourself four questions. What do you love? What are you good at? What does the world need? And can I get paid for this? Bam, right there in the middle, that's your secondary purpose in life. That's your ikigai. Find your ikigai. But as far as finding your primary purpose in life, you open up the book of Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. You have not been created except to worship Allah. Do not read that verse as a burden. Now I gotta come to the Friday prayer. Now I gotta make dua. Now I have to read the Quran. Because if you read that verse as a burden, you will not taste the sweetness of Iman. But once you read that verse as a blessing, you will have an opportunity. Not you will, but you will have an opportunity to taste the sweetness of Iman. May Allah allow us to live with Iman. May Allah allow us to die with Iman. Find your ikigai, my respected listeners. Find your purpose in life. So then you can become who you need to become. And lastly, have a diverse portfolio of good deeds. Just as Muhammad Ali had a diverse portfolio of good deeds, you need to have a diverse portfolio of hasanat. And as many of you know, the father of the Chicago Cubs, Joe Ricketts, wrote an email several years back which contained many racist and anti-Muslim sentiments. It was leaked this past week. And once it was leaked, the owner and the father, they both apologized in a written statement. But I had to channel my inner Muhammad Ali after especially reading about him these past 2 weeks. So I called the Cubs, diehard. I said, I'm a diehard Cubs fan. How dare you guys do this? Is this what you represent, racism? If it is, I'm out. He said, I agree with you. Write a letter to us, and we will forward that letter to who it needs to get forwarded to. So I wrote, Mr. Ricketts, I have personally accepted your apology because this is what our faith teaches. But if you want your apology to seem sincere, you're going to have to show us a little more. You're going to have to follow that up with action. Mr. Ricketts, I invite you and your father to come to Islamic Foundation North for a tour so you can see for yourself if Muslims are naturally your enemy, as your father has stated. So I wrote this letter and I posted it. Four other pastor friends, alhamdulillah, saw that letter, and they also wrote on our behalf imploring Mr. Ricketts to come to IFN. And they stated they will not wear any Cubs gear and they will not watch any Cubs game until we hear a response. Heard a response last night, not from Mr. Ricketts though. It was from the Daily Herald. They stated that they are scheduling the letter for publication in this Monday's newspaper. But this was only after reading the legacy of our late brother Muhammad Ali was I inspired to write that letter. Only after reading the legacy of our late brother Muhammad Ali did I have the courage to tell my pastor friends, you guys need to speak up on our behalf. So once again, my respected listeners, have a diverse portfolio of good deeds. You don't know which good deed will benefit someone else. Have a diverse portfolio of hasanat. You don't know which good deed Allah will accept. Allahumma ighfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat wal-muslimina wal-muslimat al-ahya'i minhum wal-amwat innaka sami'un qareebun mujibud da'wat ya rabbal alamin.